This is it. We've arrived. Today is the last installment of our series on learning to love God and our neighbor with all our heart. Every time that Jesus mentions the greatest commandment, he begins by telling us to love with our whole heart. The heart is the seat of your emotions. It's where they reside. It's the part of us that we feel with, from fear to courage to anger, joy, sorrow, discouragement, resentment, gratitude. If you can feel it, it is your heart that makes that possible. Throughout this series, we've looked at people and events that help us to love with all our heart. Courage is found when we take heart. Humility resides within a softened heart. And joy belongs to the person who can grieve from the heart. We talked with my friend Kenny Embry about the importance of heartfelt communication and making sure to get to the heart of the matter in our conversation with others. Hopefully, you've caught the thread that your heart is immensely powerful. Your heart can give you the will to continue when you feel like quitting, and sincerity of heart can lead to a genuine life that is accepted by God and man alike. Proverbs 4:23 beautifully states the case for watching over your heart when it says that it is from your heart that the wellsprings of life flow. Guard your heart, use it, and bravely love from the heart, even when life is overwhelming. But today, we finish this series with a warning. We're going to take a look at the failings of the heart. Do not misunderstand me. The heart has a world of strength to it, but it has an awful sense of direction. Believe me when I tell you, when it comes to knowing the right thing to do, well, your heart simply doesn't have a clue. I'm Scott Beyer, and this is the Love Better podcast, where we explore the truths and the lies about love, and more importantly, how to turn love into a skill, something we can get better at and hone along the way. To better understand the heart's failings, we need to take a detour to the mythical island of Crete. But detours are fun, right? Remember, now that we love better, we love detours too. Head back to Season 1, Episode 4, if you need a refresher on the beauty of the detour. I say the mythical island of Crete because there's a difference between the Crete of mythology and the Crete of reality. To the ancient Greeks, there were two worlds, the real world that they lived in, but also the world of Greek mythology that contained mystical creatures, fantastic tales, and wild lore. Though we know these stories to be fables, the mythology of Greece has shaped a lot of our language and some of our culture too. So today, we take a tour of a story of ancient Greek mythology, the story of Theseus, a minotaur, and the solution to a labyrinthine maze. As the story goes, Crete was ruled by a wicked king named Minos. And he housed underneath his palace a terrifying beast, the Minotaur, half bull, half man, within a giant maze, a labyrinth. The maze protected the people from the Minotaur, but it also served as a means of feeding it, its favorite snack, people. Annually, King Minos leveraged attacks upon the vassal kingdoms surrounding Crete to feed his Minotaur. As the story goes, Theseus, son of a king named Aegea, the one that the Aegean Sea would eventually be named after, volunteered to be one of the tributes so that he might enter the maze, vanquish the Minotaur, and stop the sacrifices. And eventually he did exactly that. He killed the Minotaur and found his way out of the labyrinth by the means of a very simple trick, a ball of yarn, given to him by King Minos's daughter, of all people. As he entered the maze, he unwound the yarn, and after defeating the bloodthirsty Minotaur, Theseus simply followed the yarn back to the entrance. That ball of yarn is the origin of a very common, very important word for today's episode. The word is clue. In Old English, the word for a ball of yarn is a clue. They spelled it C-L-E-W. Over time, that ball of yarn became synonymous with anything that points the way toward escape or victory. A clue, C-L-U-E. I like the way that Webster's defines the word clue. Something that guides through an intricate procedure or maze of difficulties. Specifically, a piece of evidence that leads one toward the solution of a problem. A clue is the thing that gives you direction when you are lost in a problem. Life has lots and lots of problems, and they often feel like a maze that has to be navigated. Relationship mazes that can feel like dead ends or roller coasters. They can be romantic, familial, or just friendships. But relationship mazes can be complex and confusing. Or financial and career mazes where we try and balance economics with a desire to pursue goals that go beyond chasing a dollar. Do you take that pay cut to pursue the dream job with that nonprofit? Or what about dual income versus single income that would allow mom to be able to stay home with the kids? Or navigating the maze of personal identity. How many candles are on my birthday cake now? What am I doing with my life? Who am I anyway? What's my purpose? Have I wasted it? Where do I belong in this world? From major life transitions like moving to a new city, starting a family, or negotiating the emotional highs and lows that just are simply part of our human existence, welcome to the labyrinth called life. How do we make it through this maze? How do we decide when to turn right or when to turn left? Sometimes it can feel like we haven't got a clue. And unfortunately, a lot of times, that's when we trust our heart. And that's a mistake, because our heart is a really horrible map maker. The heart isn't a ball of yarn to follow. It's more of a tangled emotional Gordian knot, especially when we feel overwhelmed, lost, or upset. Our hearts need direction. They aren't meant to give it. Of all the books in the Bible, none seems to talk about the dangers of letting the heart steer more than the book of Jeremiah. Dozens of times, Jeremiah warns against the dangers of following the heart and letting the pride, stubbornness, fears, or desires of your heart become the decision maker. Probably the clearest verse on the subject is Jeremiah 17:9, where he simply says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" It turns out your heart isn't the North Star. You shouldn't set your compass by it. In fact, if we are to start comparing our heart to navigating by the stars, your heart is the opposite of the North Star. It doesn't remain fixed and it isn't trustworthy. Instead, we'd be better off to think of our heart as more of a wandering star. It's changing all the time. And if you trust it to guide you, you will end up either adrift or run aground. And this idea that our heart hasn't got a clue, well, it shouldn't surprise us. We have all experienced days where we woke up grumpy for no good reason or allowed our emotions to run amok. And so we said or we did something that we know we shouldn't have. In our excitement, we may make a rash decision. Or in our discouragement, maybe we miss an opportunity. Probably one of the easiest examples of this to see is with the emotion of anger. When we're angry, our hearts are hot, and we can make really foolish decisions. Consider these proverbs about the dangers of angry decision-making. Proverbs 15:18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. Or Proverbs 14:17, which simply says, a man of quick temper acts foolishly. Angry hearts are clearly bad clues to guide us when we're trying to pilot our way through life. But anger isn't the only one. Think of the bad decisions we make when we feel lonely. So we look for love in all the wrong places. Or we feel tired. So we procrastinate when we should be working. Or we feel scared. So we miss our chance. And then we end up sinning by failing to do the thing we knew we should. Our hearts can be powerful motivators, but they're also wandering stars that make for bad navigational decisions in the labyrinth called life. The problem is that the heart and the emotions, they're often screaming at us to listen to them when we need to make those tough decisions, though. If life is a maze to be driven through, then emotions like rage and terror and loneliness and resentment and a host of other major feels are like a screaming passenger yelling at you while you're trying to make those decisions. It's easy to forget that we shouldn't let our feelings drive the future when they're right in our face, raising our blood pressure, or they're whispering worries into our ear. And if you know emotions can make you forget your compass, then take heart, because your Creator knows that they can do that too. And it turns out, He's given us some clues as to how to find our way out of that maze when we feel lost. If you want the answer to God's clue, you're going to need to go back to looking at that ball of yarn. Because this time, we're going to turn that yarn into tassels. For those of us less fashion aware, tassels are little bundles of thread or yarn tied into a knot and used as a decoration on clothing or home furnishings. Those decorative pillows your wife bought, they might have some tassels hanging off of them. Or that dangly thing hanging off the end of a graduation cap, yeah, that's a tassel too. Tassels have no functional purpose. They are completely ornamental. And in the Old Testament, God used tassels as ornamental reminders to His people to not follow their hearts. If you dive into the book of Numbers, God gave the Israelites a wardrobe reminder. Let's start in Numbers 15, verse 37. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, and tell them that they shall make for themselves tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and that they shall put on the tassel of each corner a cord of blue. It shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord, so as to do them and not follow after your own heart and your own eyes after which you played the harlot, so that you may remember to do all my commandments and be holy to your God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." It's an odd little detail in the Old Testament. The Pharisees of Jesus' day would later use this command to make large blue tassels and borders on their clothes so that everyone else could see, wow, there's a really religious and pious person. But that was a complete corruption of God's original intent of the tassel. The original purpose was for the tassels to remind the person wearing them not to follow their heart, but instead to follow their God. If you want to love better, you cannot follow your heart, which is so completely counterculture. The heart is arguably the most cherished idol of the 21st century. We are told to follow our heart even if it destroys our marriage or ruins our friendships or leads to impulsive or risky behavior, even if it hurts other people or ignores all rational thinking. Your heart can be fickle, and that means heart-follow decisions, well, they're going to be inconsistent. They're likely going to be unstable. If your heart's the compass, then you won't remember to love others because you're going to be too busy trying to love yourself. If you want to love better, you're going to need to remember that the heart has its place, but that place isn't in the lead. The heart doesn't always remember things like duty or responsibility or virtue. It also can remember things too long, like old wounds that cause us to not seek forgiveness. The heart isn't always rational, and that's okay. But it's only okay if you remember that it isn't always rational. So instead, remember to follow the Lord, not your heart. Remember to make His commandments your compass and ground yourself against the dangers of the wandering star that is your very own heart. So what if you don't feel it? Sometimes the essence of love is doing the right thing in the face of emotional adversity. I know that can be hard to remember, especially when life is full of emotional moments. So, if it helps, give yourself a clue. Let the scriptures be your yarn of escape. And maybe if you're so inclined, go buy yourself a little blue tassel or two as a helpful reminder to follow Him when your heart feels big feelings. Learn to love better. Learn to use God's compass. Starting next week, I'm going to step away from podcasting for a couple of weeks to focus on some other pressing projects. But I'll be back in April with a brand new series with a focus on learning to love God with all your soul. What does that even mean? To love God with all my soul? We'll talk about what the soul is, why it matters, and we'll even talk to a soul expert or two. Thanks for listening and sharing with others. I can't tell you how much your support means to me. You've all been so kind, and the growth of the podcast is completely due to your generous efforts. Thank you for the kind words of encouragement. One of my favorite parts of this podcast has been the opportunity to get to know wonderful souls I wouldn't otherwise have had a chance to meet. So thank you for being you. And until next time, remember, you are loved. So go love better.